Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Friday edition of the program. We've made it to the very end of the week. Glad to have you with us as we wrap things up and, of course, get ready for another big IU game tomorrow against Ohio State in the Big Ten Conference. We'll talk a lot about that game today. We'll get you ready for the weekend as far as high school basketball goes as well. But I want to start the program and talk some about it today. Last night, the IU women, number 6 rated IU women, with an unbelievable effort, a win at home over number 2 Ohio State, a record crowd. I was able to catch some of the second half, I guess the third and fourth quarters, on television last night. It was on Big Ten Network. The Indiana women, we've talked about them on and off all season. They are for real. They are very good. They are a national title contender. After the win over Ohio State yesterday, they are now, I believe, atop the Big Ten Conference, and things are going in an unbelievable direction. Last night, watching from television, you know, a lot of games on television, you can tell it's a big game. You know the crowd's really into the game. You can get that feel even sitting at home. Last night, for a women's college basketball game on television, you could tell, even with only 10,000, just under 11,000 people in Assembly Hall, still a record crowd for a women's game. You could tell the intensity as Indiana made a comeback there in the third period, took control of the game, built a double-digit lead. The crowd was unbelievable, and I got that feeling from the comfort of my home. I can't imagine being in Assembly Hall last night. This Indiana team has some real support behind them. It's been building now for years. It's been building throughout the season. I've heard more and more diehard men's basketball IU fans that have said, hey, I took my daughter, I took my kids to an IU women's game. We are hooked. They are for real. They are really good. It reminds me a number of years ago of the UofL women, the kind of buzz that was around their program, and in some ways still is. I know they've had a down year this year, but when Coach Walls at UofL just started to really get the women on solid ground where year in and year out, they were not only an NCAA tournament team, but they were making runs deep into the tournament. There were people from New Albany and Jeff that was what they did. That was where they went during the week especially and got season tickets. And I feel that same momentum, those same type of comments from people even local to us here. That lets you know that the IU women, at least here in far southern Indiana, have arrived, and that they are going to be fun to watch the rest of the season. I've said this a few times this week alone. The Big Ten tournament coming up, they've got a chance to win the conference, a chance to win the Big Ten tournament. They've got a chance to do some real damage in the NCAA tournament. Elite Eight has been their best appearance. I think Indiana, with the right situation, can be a Final Four team. And last night as well, you know, I'm a big college basketball fan. Obviously love the Big Ten Conference. Obviously love high school basketball and sports here in southern Indiana. But last night was a really big night for women's college basketball. And it's good to see. I wish when we did the New Albany-Jeff girls game that both teams would be really competitive. I wish that the crowds would be bigger for the girls' stuff locally. So it's great to see it happening for the women, not just UofL now, but for IU also. But last night, a big night. Not only that, Indiana win over Ohio State, the UConn Tennessee game was on television as well. Major crowd there. Both of those games getting, I'm sure, some good viewership last night. The UConn Tennessee women's game to traditional powers that are still very good. UConn has never not been good. Tennessee is rebuilding and back on that big stage once again. And, of course, Indiana had a win over Tennessee earlier this season in a big non-conference game. But neat to see the women's basketball on a Thursday night take center court. And I don't know if it's just this season or if I'm paying more attention to it because of how good – the IU women are this year and the ability they have to do some really special things. But it seems that even the Big Ten Conference has made quite the push to make sure that women's basketball gets the credit, the attention that it deserves, and has really got, especially Thursday night, they've built up, I think, a triple header of games a lot of Thursdays that are on television. So just wanted to start with the IU women. Of course, locally, Grace Berger, I know her family is here in the area. She's got some connections to Southern Indiana. She played her high school basketball and grew up in Louisville for Sacred Heart. She's back and healthy and doing really good things to help the team. So there's kind of a local draw as well. But just a really interesting roster, a really good team, and going to be fun to watch them as they move through the month of February, because the women's stuff will be here as well as far as postseason goes before you know it. But a huge win last night for IU. They're going to move up after defeating number 2 Ohio State. Indiana down 19-1 on the season. They are 9-1 in the conference, and they beat Ohio State last night, who that was just their second loss of the season. They are 19-2 and 8-2 in the Big Ten Conference. So that was a huge win for Indiana and a lot of fun even just to watch that game on television last night. Let's take a look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1 here in just a few moments. We'll have our headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get you ready for high school basketball tonight, and later in the hour, we'll be joined by Dylan Wallace, the sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. We'll talk IU basketball. I'm sure we'll get into the women's game last night, that big victory, a little bit further, and also preview IU and Ohio State on the men's side coming up as well. So Dylan will join us a little bit later today. Also, later in the program here on this Friday show, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will check in. We'll talk some high school hoops and some recruiting and more with him when he joins us here on the show. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals, which are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service is still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Also, don't forget the Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. That is the Thornton's text line. And right now, you can get a free sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant, or a steak and egg burrito, and any fountain drink, tea, or fizz freeze, or a 20-ounce bottled soda when you become a new Refreshing Rewards member. Simply download the app and register today for Refreshing Rewards to earn your free breakfast on Thornton's. And let's jump into some other headlines of the day. First off, from the Big Ten Conference last night, Purdue, a nice win over Michigan. And I didn't see hardly any of that game, at least later on in that game. But I do know, I think in the first half is when it was, Trey Kaufman-Wren, a Silver Creek product who redshirted last year for the Boilermakers, he had some big possessions in a couple key moments in that game last night for Purdue. So good to see him contributing to a number one ranked team in the Boilermakers, who right now are atop of the Big Ten Conference. Also, I saw a really interesting stat comparison last night, and I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, but it was Edie versus Jackson Davis in Big Ten games only this season, and their numbers are really close. And so when you think about a race for Big Ten Player of the Year, with the type of season Trace is having and all the notoriety that he's getting, obviously it would be fantastic to see him win Big Ten Player of the Year. But there's been a lot of thought that Edie maybe is in the driver's seat for that. But when looking at those numbers, conference-only stats, boy, they were similar. And Trace has got a real – he is right there in the mix for Big Ten Conference Player of the Year. Those guys very similar in what they've been able to do and how they lead their teams. But Trace definitely – I think he could even get the nod maybe if you just compared things to date. He is in that race, and it's going to be really interesting to see if he can keep up these dominating performances and win that Player of the Year in the Big Ten Conference. But he and Edie, I think they're the guys right now. It's got to come down, unless something major changes or one of them falls off. I think it's got to come down between one of those two guys when we get to those postseason awards coming up here down the stretch just a bit. Also, high school basketball tonight. We'll take a look at that schedule in just a moment. We will be at Providence for the Christian Academy Providence game tonight. Two teams there with great records. Christian Academy has been playing some good basketball as of late. I think, though, they'll run into a buzzsaw tonight, a really good Providence team. And we'll scoot through the schedule for the area this evening here in just a few moments. But last night in girls basketball, a big game, a rivalry game. It was Providence and Floyd Central. And Floyd Central able to get the win there, 57-44. Floyd Central, that's a big win for them. They're now 10-12 to close out the regular season. They were led by Elise Coleman last night. She had 19 points and was the only player in double figures for the Highlanders. Providence, they've had a really good year. 14-8 is their record. That is their final game of the regular season. Addison Smith led the Pioneers with 24 points. She's a youngster. She's got some good years ahead of her for sure for Providence. But a big girls game last night to close out the season as the sectional basketball, postseason basketball on the girls' side will be here next week. And that's going to be a lot of fun to see the ladies get their tournament started and be the focus of things as we get into postseason basketball, really from February on, from this point forward through, what, the first week or so in March. We're going to have between girls and boys and men's and women's elimination basketball, as I like to call it, coming up here starting next week. And that's a lot of fun. Also, boys tonight, let's take a look at things. This January, late January weekend, Borden has a big weekend of back-to-back road games. They are at Orleans and at Christian Academy. I think that Saturday night Christian Academy game will be very interesting locally because Borden 11-5 heading into the game tonight against Orleans. Christian Academy is 9-3. So that'll be a great 1A battle on Saturday night. Also, this weekend, Charlestown at Brownstown Central. So Coach Lynch and his troops will get a taste of Jack Benner and what he's been able to do here recently. We'll see if his scoring tear continues. Christian Academy, I mentioned their games. They'll be at Providence tonight. They'll be against Borden on Saturday night. Of course, we'll have their Friday night game here on the Big X. Clarksville tonight, they are off and play host to South Central Elizabeth on Saturday. Floyd Central tonight, a big back-to-back weekend. They host Seymour in a Hoosier Hills Conference game tonight and play at Evansville Wright on Saturday night. Kind of a disappointing season for the Highlanders. Just three victories so far in the first season for Coach Walters. And Henryville, we need to have Coach Jared Hill on this program soon and recognize his team's effort. They are 10-4 on the season, and they play at South Central tonight. And he told me last week he's got a really good game he's looking forward to Saturday night. They will host a very solid Edinburgh team. So if you're looking for a good game to hit Saturday night, Henryville and Edinburgh may fit the bill. Jeff, this weekend, of course, they were scheduled to play at Louisville Trinity on Wednesday night. That would have been a fun game. That game was canceled. Tonight, the Red Devils have a big Hoosier Hills Conference trip at Bedford North Lawrence. Two teams with very similar records tonight, so that should be a good one. New Albany will host Evansville North on Saturday. Then they'll travel to Jasper on, they'll host Evansville North tonight on Friday, and then travel to Jasper on Saturday. New Washington, they play Saturday at Bloomington Lighthouse, just a one-game weekend for the Mustangs. Providence, of course, taking on Christian Academy tonight. They are off on Saturday. Rock Creek in action tonight at Cannelton. In the next game after that for Rock Creek, the 1A school will play at Jeffersonville early next week. So a big challenge ahead for Rock Creek. Silver Creek tonight, they are at Madison, and then they go at Bloomington South on Saturday. So a double weekend of road games for Coach Hoffman and the Dragons tonight. Again, we'll be at Providence. Pregame coverage at 7:15. It's Christian Academy at Providence tonight in high school basketball here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dylan Wallace, the sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, will join. We will talk all the latest with IU basketball, a little bit more about the women's big victory at home over number 2 Ohio State. And now it's on the men. Can they get it done against Ohio State on Saturday? What a deal it would be if this Indiana team could win 5 straight. They're on a 4-game streak now with a big one coming up Saturday against the Buckeyes. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Friday program. The Thornton's text line is open. That number 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We've got lots of IU hoops to talk about. Big game coming up Saturday with Ohio State. But to start with Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, we need to talk about this Indiana women's team last night. Dylan, I was watching from home and got a real feel for how intense and big the crowd was. I think it was almost 11,000 people in the gym, a new record for the IU women at Assembly Hall. And it was a crowd and a team that was really on fire collectively together as Indiana made a comeback there in the third period, not only took the lead, but went on to build a nice margin, which they would basically hang on to win the game. Just really special what's going on with this IU women's team right now.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I was hoping I could make it last night, but just, you know, covering games that I had to do, I couldn't really. But, you know, just based on everything that I've heard and saw, it was pretty electric in Assembly Hall last night. You know, I was in Assembly in 2018 when they won the WNIT title, and, you know, 13,000 fans showed up to that one. And, you know, you hear the last two games here in Assembly Hall, I think at home, they've reached 10,000 in back-to-back home games. Which are, like you said, they're both regular season records for them, and it's pretty incredible. And it's really cool to be a player and to play in an environment like that. I'm sure a lot of the girls they go to the men's games. They probably see those kind of environments, and for them to kind of get a similar feeling when they're the ones playing on the floor, it's got to be pretty cool. And you know, it's also a huge advantage because you think about, you know, their opponents, you know, what, 75% of the season, they're not probably playing in front of crowds that big. So, you know, to have the opponent come in and, to play against that, and, you know, when Indiana goes in that big run in the third quarter, it's got to be a huge advantage for them. And it was really awesome to see. And, you know, like you said, 27-6 run, I think, in that third quarter. Just incredible after, you know, I think they were down at halftime, too. So, it's really special right now, and it's really cool to see just kind of everybody in Bloomington and the fan base really kind of rally around them as well. And, you know, it's really fun right now when both Indiana basketball teams are starting to play well. I mean, the women have been playing well for not just this year, but a number of years now. And with the men's team, with a little bit of a win streak here, it's fun to be a basketball fan in Bloomington right now. And, you know, the crowds are showing up and giving awesome atmospheres for both teams. And it's a lot of fun, and it's really cool. And they definitely deserve it because they've built, you know, Terry Morin's built a powerhouse there in Bloomington. And, you know, it started with that WNIT run that they had in 2018. And ever since then, you know, they've made the tournaments. They've made back-to-back Sweet 16s. They made the Elite Eight 2 years ago. And you know, now this year, they're most likely going to have their, you know, coming Monday, as long as they don't lose on Sunday, the Rutgers, you know, they'll reach the highest ranking in the AP poll that they've ever had in program history. So I think they'll probably get as high as maybe even number two in the country, which would definitely be the highest. I think their highest is either four or five in the history of the program. So that's another cool moment that could be coming for them this week. Again, they got to beat Rutgers at home on Sunday. So as long as they take care of business there, just another milestone, another big thing for this program to knock off its list. So really cool for them. You know, they're tied in first for the Big Ten now with Iowa. So there's a couple games coming up against the Hawkeyes that they'll need to win to hopefully win a Big Ten title. But it's awesome, and it's great to see that, you know, they try to get the blackout theme for last night. They tried to get people there, and people showed up, and they created an awesome environment for the team to play in. And it's been a lot of fun to watch and follow along. And I think as the season goes on, you know, this program's probably going to have an opportunity to host another NCAA tournament game that first weekend. And, man, the way that they've had momentum here, you can only imagine the type of crowd they'll get for a game like that coming up in March. So really awesome, and I'm just excited to see what they can do, and hopefully This propelled them to a good position to hopefully win the Big Ten regular season title this year.
Dylan, one other women's question before we head to the IU-Ohio State men's edition and start previewing that. That's tomorrow. You touched on this a little bit. You mentioned Iowa, but obviously knocking off Ohio State yesterday, the Hoosiers are now atop the Big Ten Conference in the women's standings. What are their big challenges the rest of the way? Iowa, what else do they need to be mindful of as they navigate through February and do try to win a Big Ten title?
Yeah, Iowa's going to be the big one. I don't think they've played them yet this season. And, you know, Iowa also beat Ohio State, I think, on Monday. So that was a kind of a nice favor that Iowa did because Ohio State was obviously the only unbeaten team coming into this week in the Big Ten. So, you know, for Indiana coming up, I mean, they're, you know, obviously, I think Purdue's been pretty strong this year. So, obviously, that game at Mackey, it's the game, a week from this Sunday will be tough. But, yeah, they have Iowa at home. Coming up, they have to play at Ohio State again. They play at Iowa to close the season, so they have a really, really, really tough schedule the rest of the way. Like I said, you know, you're at Ohio State, you host Michigan, who's ranked in the top 20. You know, you have Purdue twice, and you know those games could always be a little weird. You know, I think last year or maybe the year before, one of those games in Lafayette went to overtime with the women, and yeah, you know, you have Iowa twice as well, so. It's definitely not clear cut that they're going to be able to just cruise for a Big Ten title because they got a lot of strong teams still left to beat, and a number of those are on the road as well. Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, you know, those are all going to be road games they have coming up. So yeah, right now, you know, 9-1 in the conference, so they're kind of controlling their own destiny here if they can win some of these. And you know, Iowa's the only other team with one loss right now. So I think those two games that you're looking at with the Hawkeyes. You know, the first one's at home on February 9th. It's another Thursday night like last night was. And the last one closed the season on February 26th. And you got to imagine if you win one or two of those, you know, you're probably in a square position to claim the regular season title. So a lot of big games left remaining, you know, for this team. And it's fun to watch them play big games. And I think the ones at home, you know, with the crowd that they got last night, you know, the more – the games they have at home is going to be pretty awesome. You know, the Iowa one is another one that I think they'll probably get a pretty good crowd out of. I imagine it'll probably be around 10,000 again for them. So a lot of stuff left to do, a lot of work left to do in this conference. As we all know, it's Big Ten is a grind, so they got a ways to go. But I think, you know, with the way that they're playing, with the kind of depth they've had this year and getting Grace Berger back, and seems like she's pretty healthy. And, you know, the run Mackenzie Holmes has been on, I think we're all super impressed by the numbers Trace Jackson Davis has been putting up, and she's been doing, you know, similar things over on the women's side. I think I saw in the last three wins Indiana's had against top 25 opponents, it's been the last three straight games, she's had like 24, 25, 26 points, and it's the first player ever, aside from Maya Moore, to be able to do that against top 25 ranked teams. So she's on a pretty incredible run herself. So, you know, Bloomington's got two really awesome forwards right now playing at high levels. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be a tough schedule, but I think this team is definitely capable, and they've shown they're capable of hopefully being able to win enough of these to claim the Big Ten title this year.
Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, is my guest. We've got to jump into IU-Ohio State on the men's side. Kind of hard to get a read on Ohio State. We talked some about them yesterday on my show. They've been up and down, but they've got a lot of talent, and boy, they've got a young player, Bryce Sensabaugh, that I really like.
Sensabaugh's been really fun to watch. I watched when they played Purdue at home. You know, Purdue barely kind of snuck that one out in Columbus, but Sensabaugh was really, really impressive in that game. You know, he's a freshman guard that can really, really create his own shot. He's kind of strongly built, so he can really kind of get his way into the paint. I think it's sort of similar to the way that, you know, Penn State uses Jalen Pickett, although maybe not as many post-ups, but he's definitely, you know, strong enough to be able to kind of take advantage and try to get his way into the paint and create his own jump shots there. So he's a really impressive player. And, you know, obviously, you know, Zed Key, we all know him from the last couple of years. He's been kind of banged up this year, so not exactly healthy. You know, they got Sean McNeil, who's a really good three-point shooter from West Virginia, that I remember watching him on the Volunteers a couple of years ago. So, you know, they have a lot of capable players. Obviously, Justice Suing is really, really good out on the wing. So, you know, it's crazy that they're, you know, 3-6 in the Big Ten because they are really talented. And I think that's what's interesting about the Saturday's game is because, you know, Indiana's won four in a row. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Ohio State's pretty desperate right now to try to, you know, get their way back into a, you know, a 500 record in the conference and try to get some quality wins here. And so, you know, they're going to be coming in probably with nothing to lose and throwing everything out in Indiana. So it's going to be a really tough game. You know, you hopefully, you know, there's no underestimating going on with the Hoosier side of things, because this Ohio State team is very capable. They're struggling right now. So it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you can see it as maybe a trap game. But hopefully, you know, Indiana, you know, with the crowd behind them is able to sort of take care of business. But this team is definitely talented, and I think their guards present a challenge with Sensabaugh and Suing out on the wing. You know, if Miller Kopp's guarding Suing, that could be a mismatch, and Ohio State could potentially take advantage of that. So it could be a really tough matchup, but, you know, I think with the way he has been playing, with the way that Trace Jackson Davis has been playing, I definitely don't think Zed Key is quick enough to be able to handle Trace, so we'll see. They'll probably throw a lot of doubles at him. But yeah, I mean, I think Indiana should be able to win this one, but it's going to be tough. And, you know, they're 3-6, but they're definitely more talented than that. And you know, they're struggling right now, so it all kind of depends on what their mindset's going to be like. You know, are they kind of already checked out, or are they going to be motivated to try to, you know, get a pretty impressive road win at Assembly Hall? So I think it's going to be a pretty fun game. I imagine it'll probably be close a little bit throughout, but, you know, hopefully they can pull away here. They've been really good at home lately. The crowd's been bringing the energy, and there's a really good opportunity for this team to, you know, win a fifth game in a row here. And then, you know, you have a big, big next couple three games coming up after that one.
Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, he joins us Fridays on the show. Dylan, any word on Mike Woodson's status? We know that he's been recovering from COVID-19, which was his reason for obviously missing the Minnesota game. Coach Roseman had the scout for that game, so he had the opportunity to step into the head coaching role for that game and lead things on the sideline. I thought I read or heard earlier that he was planning to be back, and then I think the Big Ten show last night after the Purdue game, I think I heard that maybe he would not be back. But any official word on his status?
I haven't seen anything yet, and obviously it all kind of depends on maybe how severe it is that he's dealing with it. And, you know, I think the protocols have all changed a number of times since we kind of were in the crux of it, you know, a couple years ago. So I think it just depends how he's doing. I think you know, if he had it Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, if he doesn't have symptoms anymore, he could come back. But I'm not really sure how he's doing. I'm not really sure the update on him. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, if he can't coach, I don't know if Yusir Roseman would be like the quote unquote acting head coach, because I think the way they put it is whoever's scout the game is. So, you know, is Kenya Hunter scouting Ohio State, or is Brian Walsh scouting Ohio State? Whoever is would be the one that's kind of, you know, up on the sideline, calling play, stuff like that. So that's another interesting wrinkle to pay attention to. You know, if Kenya Hunter's the Ohio State scout, you know, it'll be him that instead of Yusir Roseman that's kind of in charge or kind of filling that role. So that's interesting to pay attention to going forward. But yeah, I haven't seen for sure if he'll be back or not. You know, I don't know how bad it is for him, but I would imagine if, you know, the symptoms are free, he'd be eligible to come back by Saturday. But I'm not really sure how he's doing. And quick Google search and Twitter stuff, I haven't really seen anybody kind of report anything yet either.
Talking to Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. Dylan, you know, looking at the Big Ten race right now, on the men's side, it's Purdue's there to lose maybe at the top of the conference. And I was perusing through their schedule a little earlier, and they've still got some tough matchups. I mean, every matchup and every road game in the Big Ten, right, is tough and it can be an unknown. And Purdue has slipped up. They're not unbeatable, that is for sure. But looking at their path to a Big Ten championship, if Matt Painter and his crew are going to stay on top, I think that with Indiana playing the way they're playing recently, that a big obstacle to keeping the Boilermakers at the top, or to them keeping themselves at the top, is that they've got to go through Indiana twice here. And I think that could be, depending on how that series plays out, that could tell the story of Purdue in a Big Ten championship this year. So if Indiana's not going to win it, I think Indiana fans would love to see IU in this final month of the regular season and conference play maybe help try to stymie the Boilermakers' drive for a Big Ten title.
Yeah, and the opportunity is really right in front of Indiana. You know, if you beat Ohio State, you're 6-4, and then you have a road game at Maryland, and You know, if there's a chance you win that one and you're on a six-game winning streak going into that home Purdue game, first of all, the atmosphere will be pretty off the charts in Assembly Hall next Saturday. But then, you know, if you win that game, you know, you give Purdue their second loss, you still only have four, and then you have another huge home game after the Purdue game against Rutgers at home, and they're in second place in the conference with three losses. So, you know, if you win that, you know, you get into all these scenarios. If Indiana really has a chance here, if they rattle off the next couple games, they'll be right in the middle of it. And, you know, I thought it was funny on, you know, you see Roseman filled in on the Mike Woodson radio show with Don Fisher on Monday night before the Minnesota game. And, you know, he was talking, you know, Fisher kind of asked him about, you know, you guys are trying to get back in the Big Ten race. It seems like it's Purdue to lose. And, you know, Yusir Roseman said, well, we plan on beating Purdue twice. So that gives them three losses, and we have four. So we just need to hope somebody else can knock them off at some point. So, you know, Indiana's got all the intentions of trying to hand Purdue two more losses and only kind of getting within a game of them. And, you know, from that point, anything can kind of happen there. So it's pretty fun to watch and pretty fun to talk about. You know, I can't remember the last time we were able to talk about and late January, going into early February, that Indiana has a chance to be, you know, in the middle of a Big Ten race. But, yeah, they got some tough games coming up. You know, Michigan State at home on Sunday will be tough for Purdue. You know, Michigan State almost had them in the Breslin Center a couple weeks ago, so that could always be a tough game. You know, Penn State's tough, but, yeah, coming into Indiana twice, what's unfortunate about Purdue is they don't really play that many tough road games anymore. I mean, at Wisconsin will probably be the toughest one they have the rest of the way aside from at Indiana. So, you know, you hope they slip up at home a couple times. They already did it once against Rutgers. So, you know, I guess that's what you're hoping for. But it's been really impressive from Purdue that they're 6-0 on the road right now in the Big Ten. And that includes games, you know, at Michigan State and at Michigan. They won at Michigan last night by 5. So, you know, when you don't lose on the road in the conference, you're really positioning yourself pretty good to stay atop the standings. So it's going to be tough to catch Purdue, but if Indiana keeps playing like they have been, and like I said, this next four games that they have here, you know, if Indiana somehow wins these next four, Ohio State at home, at Maryland, and then Purdue and Rutgers at home, then you can start to get a real conversation about they have a real shot to catch Purdue here. They have a real shot to potentially win the Big Ten. So, you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun to follow along here. And I just think fans are kind of happy to be looking at this kind of stuff. You know, you're kind of projecting, hey, you know, we could do this and this. But, you know, it all starts with the next game, and that's the most important one. Next up on the schedule is a sound like a coach always says. But, you know, you got to beat Ohio State on Saturday at home if you want to stay in this race. You got to take care of, you know, these home games in the conference. So that's got to be the biggest one for Indiana coming up here. And, you know, hopefully they don't look past Maryland, because that's going to be a tough road game next Tuesday as well. But it's very real, but, you know, it's going to be Purdue's lose. It's going to be hard to catch them right now, but there's a chance. And like you said, those two Indiana games, they could put some real pressure on them for sure.
Yeah, no question. All right, Dylan Wallace, sports editor, Seymour Tribune. I'm sure you're headed to a big high school game tonight. What do you got?
I got a thrilling matchup between Trinity Lutheran and Crothersville. You know, they're two teams that are in our coverage area. So, you know, whenever two teams in our county match up against each other, we try to get out there and give them some coverage. But, yeah, I know Seymour's over in your neck of the woods down at Ford Central. Both teams struggled a little bit so far. You know, Brownstown's got a home game against Charlestown, so we'll have someone over there as well. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, man, we already got girls' sectionals next week, so it's going to be a quick sprint here toward a basketball postseason coming up for sure.
Absolutely. Dylan, doing a great job. And Seymour, that area, appreciate you coming on with us Fridays.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. And I tell you what, Dylan is right there in that Jennings County, that North Vernon area as well. I still have not seen the Panthers, but boy, they're really good. They're playing some great basketball. I've heard some of the coaches here in the area that have seen them and have scouted them say they are the real deal and very likely the sectional favorite with how things are going. But, yeah, I'd like to see Jennings County sometime soon. Also, a couple other quick notes before we head to break. Romeo Langford, you know, he was getting minutes, scoring, good stat lines. I saw yesterday that I think he was out with a hip abductor. I've seen it listed a couple different ways, but it seems minor, and perhaps he could return in the next couple games. So That's hopeful for Romeo. He made it, for his standards, a long while there without any kind of little nagging injuries. He's been hampered so much by small injuries over the course, really, of his career, even going back to Indiana. But so a little hip abductor issue for Romeo right now down in San Antonio. And then Thomas Bryant with the Lakers. He's been tearing it up. I know the Lakers are a powerhouse franchise with LeBron, and they're not getting it done as far as a team. But, boy, Thomas Bryant has been a bright spot recently for the Lakers through some tough times and has posted some really good stat lines. He had a monstrous stat line back on Sunday in a win over the Trailblazers as L.A. had a 25-point comeback. 31 points, 14 rebounds, 12 of 15 shooting from the field, 4 of 5 from behind the arc, and wow, very impressive. And said some, that was not a record, but he was up there pretty high in franchise records of Lakers that have accomplished that in one game. So neat to see Thomas Bryant really finding his stride, even though the Lakers team he's a part of is having a lot of problems. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star in our final segment of the show. And final segment of the week. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Again, 502-414-1450. Kyle, we are right in the middle of a great time for high school basketball. The girls' tournament starts next week. The boys' pairings will be announced in a few weeks, and there are some big regular season games ahead, including some this weekend. But I wanted to talk with you today first about the McDonald's All-American game. It's been a game that has been very well represented by the Hoosier State over the years, and not as strong the last year or so. I believe just one player from the state on the McDonald's roster this year, and kind of surprising to me that only, I think I saw two players, both of them Michigan State recruits from the Big Ten Conference on the McDonald's rosters this year. So just kind of curious your takeaways there.
I was, you know, a little surprised. Normally, the Big Ten's pretty well represented in that group. But, yeah, only two, both Michigan State, and both are familiar names probably, as Edgar Booker and then, you know, Jeremy Fears, who played, you know, on the Indy Heat team. So if you kind of follow that, you probably know the name at least. But point guard for who's going to Michigan State, really good player, tough player. So he'll be a thorn in the sides of IU and Purdue fans probably for a while. But yeah, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't sure if Xavier would make it. I figured he probably would, but you know, and then it's always kind of a weird process to me because some of the guys who, or girls who you would think would get on the nomination list, don't make it because their schools aren't aware, or, you know, something kind of falls through the cracks with that. So, you know, a guy like Marcus Burton, if I remember correctly, I don't think he was even among the nominations. He may very well be Mr. Basketball. So, you know, that's sort of it's always kind of a head scratcher. You know, you'd think there'd be sort of a safety net, maybe, so to speak, to catch some of those kids who are deserving of it. But it's always a great honor. I've covered it many times when I was in Chicago. It's since kind of moved around. It's not there every year now. So, don't make it as much anymore. Although me and you were both there in Atlanta that one year when Romeo was there. But yeah. So it's a fun deal. I do enjoy covering it, and the, you know, I don't know what the access type, you know, is now, but it was always pretty good back then, you know, to sit down and talk to those kids and whatnot. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. You know, it's interesting how there's so few Big Ten guys this year. That was surprising to me as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Big games across the state still to be played this season. I don't want to get the tournament. I know it's just around the corner, but I don't want to wish the season away. What are some of the big ones in your area tonight?
Probably there's several. It's a good week. Ben Davis goes to Carmel, which, you know, Carmel's coming off, you know, a big win over Brownsburg last week. Brownsburg had won 8 in a row. Going into that game, and I saw him play the night before against Westfield and played really well. Then Carmel came back and and kind of took it to them, you know, beat them by 13. So that was a little bit of a, I don't want to say it was a surprise anytime Carmel wins, but, you know, I'd say, you know, that one's a big one. You know, Zionsville is at Brownsburg, so, you know, that's a big HCC game this weekend, and Zionsville's a team that I think is kind of lurking under the radar slightly. They're 9-5, but I think they're better than that. I had them pretty high in the preseason. I think I had them third in our Fab 15, which is our local teams. But you know, I think they're a team that, you know, with Logan Iams, who's going to Penn State, you know, they're kind of on the sleeper train for me. So I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Brownsburg tonight. That should be a really good game. So those are a couple of them. I would, you know, Penn is playing South Bend Riley tonight. I think that should be probably, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. And then Saturday, Attucks, which won the city earlier this week, they played Ben Davis too. So Ben Davis has a tough week with Attucks and Carmel, Attucks Saturday and Carmel tonight. So, you know, that will be interesting. You know, outside of our area, North Davies down in Southern Indiana, they play Orleans on Saturday. That's always a big Southern Indiana small school matchup. So Orleans ranked number one in the state right now. So I think that could be a fun one. Muncie Central's hosting a tournament that has both Chautauqua and Greenfield Central in it. So I think that could be an interesting thing tomorrow. Kind of a different idea to have a little tournament this late in the season. And, you know, also tomorrow night, I thought about going to this. I don't think I am, but Connersville's playing Jennings County, which Jennings County's been on a really good tear. You know, they're 14-1. Connersville's 11-3. And, you know, we know what kind of coach Kerry Brown is year in and year out. So that should be a great atmosphere and a fun game down at Connersville tomorrow night.
Yeah, good run around the state there to get ready for the weekend. Should be some fun games this weekend and beyond as well. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us here on our Friday program. Somebody, I promised I would bring this up with you again. I think I asked it just a week or two ago, but any recruiting update on Flory Badunga at Kokomo? I know his offers were really growing there for a while back in the fall heading into the season, but from an IU perspective, or really from any perspective, have there been any movements or update?
Not anything that I substantial. I know he went to a Butler game recently. I can't remember if that's in the time that I talked to you since then. I want to say it was last Saturday, but it's been relatively recently. You know, and I think he did move up. You know, there's been some ranking changes and adjustments. I know he's ranked fourth by one of the services, so he continues to kind of be, you know, on the rise from that regard. But yeah, I don't. Other than yeah, this is kind of a it's a busy time of the season, but it's kind of a slow newsy. You know, as far as recruiting goes, I think things will, you know, it would be more things come out, you know, as far as the spring, you know, when things start happening as far as that goes. But you know, I know he's been taking some visits and, you know, just kind of getting to some games. You know, when I talked to him last, he was still kind of, you know, learning about the programs that are recruiting him. Auburn had been in recently, I think, just about a week before I was there. And I know he was planning to go there at that time, and Butler as well. He'd been to IU and Purdue recently. So, yeah, I think it's still, you know, it's not any huge news, but he's still kind of just, you know, going around to games and getting a sense of where those programs are as far as what the rosters potentially could look like and how he fits into their programs.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, he joins us here Fridays as we talk high school basketball, recruiting, and more. Kyle, thanks for the chat today. Enjoy some hoops this weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks. Have a good weekend, Matt.
Thank you very much, Kyle, with us Fridays. A good, great way to segue into the weekend. And of course, tonight we've got some high school basketball. It's Christian Academy at Providence. Our first look, my first look tonight at Christian Academy. They're 9-3 on the season. They will take on a really good Providence team. Should be fun tonight to be out at the Larkin Center. Our pregame coverage will come on at 7:15. The game is scheduled to begin around 7:30. And always great to be in a high school gym, especially on a Friday night. Look forward to seeing the Pioneers as they continue to get tuned up for the postseason. That'll be here before you know it. So, of course, IU, Ohio State, Saturday here on the Big X. The great Don Fisher has the call of that game, and then we'll be back with you Monday to recap everything coming out of the weekend with another week of shows here on the Hoosier Report. So have a great weekend. I don't think any real chance of winter weather this weekend. There was maybe a mention of it earlier in the week, but I think we're good to go, just some cold weather. So enjoy basketball. We'll be back Monday. We'll recap everything. Join us tonight for Providence and Christian Academy as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.